Yeah, it's really true. The new Danish translation of the Bible removes Israel from the New Testament.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have any Jewish-related questions, Israel-related question, Hebrew language, Hebrew Bible-related question, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. A little later in the broadcast, we will get to your calls. Also, a really interesting poll that indicates twice as many American evangelical Christians see modern Israel today as fulfillment of biblical prophecy than do American Jews. We'll talk about that. But first, something striking, something shocking. The new Danish translation of the Bible, Danish Bible Society, has put it out, trying to be in contemporary language and reach people that are not really familiar with the scriptures. And they made a drastic, radical decision, which is the over 60 times that the word Israel or form of it occurs in the New Testament, they removed it. With one exception, they removed it. We'll get into the details, but first I want to paint a broader picture for you. And I'm so pleased to have with us Torben Sundergaard. You may have seen his video, The Last Reformation, or seen some of his testimony. He's been in ministry and church planning for many years, but the situation in Denmark got such that he fled to America from religious persecution in Denmark. Torben, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Torben, first paint a picture of what's actually happening in Denmark and what your own experience was in the country there.
Yeah, first, I want to explain Denmark is very different from America. I think it's good to understand that first. Like, Denmark is 5.8 million people. So America is 57 times bigger than Denmark. We have one Christian newspaper. We have one Bible company who give off the Bible. And it's a very secular country that is changing a lot. And I would say I've been doing ministry for over 20 years in Denmark. I've been writing books and traveling around and being in 30 different countries. But the last 2-3 years, it really things start to change even more in a way we haven't seen before. Like we are starting to see in America, where we are talking about it's not only persecution for people who somehow disagree with us, but we are talking about government, we are talking about fake news, we are talking about the change of the laws as we are starting to see in America. So after 20 years of ministry in Denmark, last year the biggest TV station in Denmark did a documentary about us. It was what I thought it was about us. But it was actually to just, you know, come in and change the mindset amongst the people so they could get new laws in. And together with a lot of new laws and together with me on national TV, like day after day for 3 weeks in the beginning of January last year, we was actually forced to leave our country after 20 years. Because with the new laws, I could risk that they could come in and take away our kids, or I could go to jail for doing things I've been doing for 20 years.
So, Torben, when you talk about things you've been doing for 20 years, let's say you're talking about preaching the gospel of Jesus to someone on the street, calling them to repent, calling them to be baptized, maybe praying for them to be set free. Basic gospel ministry, doing your best to live out what you understand as a New Testament faith. That's specifically what you're being attacked for. You're saying that the laws in Denmark actually changed because of that?
Yeah, I would say they started 4 years ago. They started to talk about a new kind of law that called mental violence law. But they talk about how do you define mental violence? Because, like, if you do physical violence, you know you are done it. You know if you go and beat somebody and there's blue marks and that person can testify, hey, look here, somebody beat me. But how do you define mental violence. So there was a whole debate in Denmark about what is mental violence. Is that if you ground your kids under a long period of time, that could be mental violence. And we, as one of the only one in Denmark, have been doing homeschooling. And we have already government coming and looking at us because we are doing homeschooling. And I believe in praying for sick people. I believe in casting out demons, as Jesus called us to. And suddenly the focus became on us, what we have been doing, and the new law. And in the Danish government, they were talking about me. They were talking about the programs and what we have been doing. And then in April, they came up with a new law that now mental violence is going to be punished the same way as physical violence. And in that law, they added, if you, for example, if your kids see you cast out demons, pray for people, that could be defined as mental violence. So for just believing in cast out demons, healing the sick, by the new law, that could be defined as mental violence, and therefore they could take away their kids.
Now, right now, according to official stats on Danish websites, 75% of the population claims to be evangelical Lutheran. Mm. Now, of course, the percentage used to be much, much, much higher. Yeah. What is the state church like? Is it compromised? Where does it stand on issues like homosexuality and things like that?
Oh, I would say, like, when I got baptized in the Lutheran church, like most people at that time, and I got confirmed, and when I, in 92, got confirmed, it was around 92% mm-hmm. in Denmark who was part of Lutheran Church. Today, that have fell down with 18%. So they've gone from 92 to 74. So it's a really secular country in a way. Like, I did not know there was a New and an Old Testament, for example, when I was in the Lutheran Church. I had never opened my Bible. So it's really a culture. And if you look at the Baptists in Denmark, there is only 5,000 Baptists. Now we're not talking about churches. There is 5,000 Baptists. Mm. There is 7,000 Pentecost. So that means that in percentage, we're talking about 0.06%, where in America it's just so much higher. Yeah. It's around 6% in America. So we are talking about 0.13, and America is 6%. The only thing that actually have grown of religion in Denmark the last year is Islam. Like Islam, in the 1980s, Islam was 0.6%. Today is 5.5%. So it actually grown from 30,000 people to 330,000 people. So all the Baptists, Pentecostal, Evangelical Christians, there's no growth. Islam is growing, and then otherwise it just become more and more secular.
Extraordinary. And having ministered just a little in Scandinavia over the years and interacted with believers there for many years, you could see this coming. This is not a surprise. It's tragic, but you could see it coming. It's just more extreme than we would know here in America. And because of that, then, has there been sympathy in terms of you coming here as someone persecuted, fleeing from religious persecution? Has America been sympathetic to you?
Yeah, I would say I love America. And especially when you grow up in Europe and Denmark, you see when you come to America, you just experience that freedom I did not have at home. And you feel what you have been grown up under your whole life. And you really feel the difference. I think for me, it's still a new thing that things are changing so fast in Europe. And I think when people hear that, hey, a Danish guy seeking asylum, how can that be?
Right,
like we're talking about Europe, we're talking about Denmark. And I think it's only those people who are very public and known who experience that thing. But it's something that's going to hit everyone. And I would actually say to everyone in America, when we experience the persecution and fake news and laws being changed, when I came to America, we were in shock. Of course, we were in shock. Like, we took my kids and my wife and packed 8 suitcases and left in 2 days. We were in shock. But when I sat in the airport in Amsterdam flying to America, like, God, how can that happen? How can this happen? And there I felt God spoke very clear, Torben, because you are a pioneer. And I'm also calling you to pioneer this. America is not ready for what is going to come to America, and you have to help to make America ready. And it was interesting because when people said to me 2-3 months before we left Denmark that, hey, Torben, you will one day be forced to leave your country. I would say, no way. Like, come on, this is Denmark. No. I couldn't believe it. But the same to everyone who's listening now. If I would say to you, hey, 2-3 months ago, hey, in 2-3 months, you will not be allowed to go out of your door and go to work. You will not be allowed to meet in church. People will not have believed me now. So I'm afraid to say that this is just the beginning, because what we see is not only in Denmark. We see it, like, I had a big meeting with 1,000 people in Paris 2 years ago where the police came in under the middle of the Baptist and tried to stop the meeting. And when I sat in the airport on the way home, the police came and took me out and checked everything and tried to intimidate us. So we are talking about a hate against the Christians in Europe, but at the same time, Islam. It's almost like they don't dare to touch them. They don't dare to say anything against Islam. So Islam is growing, and the Christians, together with the Jews, it's time to get a hard time.
Yeah, so again, friends, what seemed impossible in Denmark is the reality now, and much of Europe in a very, very bad state. We are so shocked to see many things in America. Now, if I'd gotten up 20 years ago and said, this is coming, people wouldn't have believed. But listen, friends, as we have watered down the gospel in America for so many years, as we have preached a self-help gospel, a self-improvement gospel, which is not the gospel at all and not the gospel that saves from sin, as we have bypassed the cross, as we have omitted repentance, naturally, as we do that, standards fall. Naturally, as we do that, compromise comes in, apostasy sets in, and rather than us changing the world around us, the world changes us. So when we come back, I want to talk with Torben about this new Bible translation, and I'll get into some of the material about Israel being removed, but I want Torben to help us in the few more minutes he has with us to understand what's actually happened with not just removing the preaching of sin from the pulpit, but removing the concept of sin from the Bible itself. We'll be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to 30 Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire with my special guest from Denmark, but now here in America, seeking asylum from religious persecution in Denmark, Torben Søndergaard. You'd be familiar with him from his last Reformation video and movement. Torben, I want to play a clip for you in Danish from Jan Frost as he's talking about this new Danish translation. This is what he says.
De har sagt, at navnet Israel hverken i det gamle testamente eller i det nye testamente bruges som geografisk betegnelse for det, vi kender som Israel i dag.
Could you translate that for us?
Yeah, he said that Israel in the New and Old Testament is not being used as a place like we use it today. Like Israel, what he's saying also later, that Israel is not a physical place now, it's a people. So when they talk in the New Translation about Israel, they have translated Israel to the people of Israel.
The Jewish people.
Jewish people or the right. Jews or just the people. So sometimes you read Israel and it's the Jewish people, the Jews, or just the people and not the physical place.
Yeah, and the reason, and I'll get into this in a little while, is they don't want the people to think that it's modern Israel. God forbid that they should think it's the same place or perhaps even the same people. The implications that are very serious. But Torben, you and others have pointed out that that's only one problem with this Bible.
Yeah.
What I could understand if a word like sin is considered theological. So there are other ways to say it. You're doing wrong, doing something bad. How does this come out in the New Translation?
If you go in on their own website, they said that this Bible is for the secular reader. So the whole focus is to talk to the secular reader. But the problem with that is if you take sin as here, they talk about sin as doing wrong. But then sin is not defined anymore out of God's law and what God is saying. Sin is defined out of, like, hey, what do you think is right and wrong? In my opinion, this is wrong, and your opinion is right. And I think that is the danger when you talk about sin. So when you talk about sin, they use word as doing wrong or doing the opposite of God. So they translate sin into the context of what you're reading. But another example is the whole gender-neutral thing. For example, when Paul, he write his letter, he don't say to my brothers anymore. He said to my friends. And when you write of men, instead of men, you read people. So it's really, sin is being removed and changed, and it's a gender-neutral Bible anymore. Why? Because it's a Bible for the secular people who's trying to fit in to how the world is.
And is sin ever translated as mistake, or does that ever come up?
Yeah, I have some examples. Like, if you take sin, sin can be translated as evil. Other place doing opposite of what God wants. Other places wrong or mistake. So this is some of the things, wrongdoing or mistakes. That is some of the places they use instead of sin.
Now, was this in keeping with what's preached from the pulpits, that the pulpits no longer call sin sin in the state church?
Oh, but I would say that the state church is very, very far away. Like it has been far away from years with the marriage of homosexuals and everything else. But even the other evangelical Christian, I think there is a fear today to say it as it is, to talk about sin as it is. Like, we don't want to frighten people away, but again, if people don't know they have sin, why do they need Jesus? Why do they need a Savior?
Yeah.
But it's the whole culture in Denmark and Europe where we, like, with the in Sweden, you don't use him and her anymore. They have actually created a new word that is gender neutral. And that new word is all over Europe starting to come in. And now we see it even in our Bible that, it don't matter if it's a man or a woman. It's not what is important anymore.
Yeah. And it's one thing to say when Paul said brothers, he could have meant brothers and sisters. It's a generic way of speaking. You know, I know those arguments, but it's another thing when you must go gender neutral. Look, people have a problem with the idea of God being father. You know, that's not gender neutral enough. And the activism within Sweden, say, to deconstruct gender, now to come in with the gender neutral pronoun hen, it goes on and on. Last question for you, Torben. When you first got here, we met, we prayed together, but we couldn't talk about your situation publicly. Now it's gotten more public attention. Are you allowed to comment on where you're at with your plea for asylum?
Yeah, we have sent in our papers, and we have a very interesting case. I am waiting now for my interview. That can go a half year or a year. I don't know how it will go, and to be honest, my lawyer has said it's good to be quiet, because if I speak too much, it could damage my case. But I really feel I need to speak up to people in America, because that was why God brought me here. It's time to wake up. If you in America say that this is not going to happen in America, it is happening in America. It's coming in. And I would say I left Europe coming to the land of the free to to America who came with the Mayflower 400 years ago to find out that America is going exactly the same direction as Europe. And it's really shocking for me to come to America and see what is happening now. So this is my word to everyone. It's time to wake up. It's time to stand up. The church needs a revival. Otherwise, you end like Europe.
Well said. I've got nothing to add to that except amen, and may God be with you. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
All right. God bless. All right, friends, let's focus in on the Israel issue. And yes, hear that call. Wake up. Hear that warning. Jerusalem Post, headline in Jerusalem Post, and this is all over the Jewish world. Danish Bible Society's translation omits dozens of references to Israel. Over 60 times the word Israel, Israel, Israelite, occurs in the New Testament. One time it remains, only one time. That's when there's a direct quotation from the Old Testament into the New. Otherwise, it's gone. You know how far it goes? In Matthew 2, when Joseph and his family, so Joseph, Miriam, Mary, and baby Jesus, Yeshua, they go, or infant, they go into Egypt because Herod wants them dead. They go into Egypt, and now they come back to the land of Israel. You know what it says? Egypt is mentioned over and over. Somehow it's okay to mention Egypt, even though Egypt today is not the same people as Egypt back then. But no, that's okay. You could mention that. It doesn't say they went back to the land of Israel. No, it says they went home. They went home. Or instead of Israel, say chosen people. And here's the thing. They have no problem with translating Israel, Israelite, over 2,000 times in the Hebrew Bible. And they said, well, we don't want people now to think that we're talking about the same land or people. Well, why'd you do it in the Old Testament, but you won't do it in the New? Huh? Why that? Please explain that. You don't want there to be a connection. Well, now you break the whole connection between Israel in the Old Testament and Israel in the New, and the continuity between Old and New. That's all broken. And when Jan Frost exposed this in Denmark, and a lot of attention came to it, and the reason Jews care about it is not so much that they're into the New Testament, but they know this is just another blotting out of Israel, another denying of the people and the land and the rights and the heritage and all of that. They understand what's implied here. So look at how someone from the Bible Society replied. Look at this quote. This is Jan Frost on his Facebook page. He says, the response to my criticism of the Bible 2020 for removing the word Israel from the new agreement, that's what they call the New Testament, has been huge. And he goes on, the Danish Bible Society's reaction to Israelis' criticism can we read today in the form of a comment from Secretary General of the Bible Society, Birgit Stockland. Quote, basically, I think they find it hard to understand that the average Dane does not understand that reference is made to a people and not geography when it says Israel in the New Testament. So it does refer to geography. They got to get rid of it anyway. Messianic Jews see the state of Israel as fulfilling God's promises. However, in Denmark, few people want to formulate themselves like this. And that is also why the criticism of our practice comes from a very small minority in the church. Just a little handful of people. They really don't know what they're talking about, after all, to paraphrase. And no, we do not see Israel today, as what she's seeing, as connected to Israel in the Bible or the promises. As he says, Jan Frost says, you can almost hear the Secretary General say, why the fuss? It's only a small thing that a small minority in Folkekirken cares about. It's like the common people. And then look at this. On the Danish Bible Society website, they have the audacity to have an article that says fake news about the new Danish Bible. That's what they call it. Fake news about the new Danish Bible. And they claim, they say, oh, no, we use Israel over 2,000 times. The word Jew, Jewish occurs more than 500 times. But did they tell? The issue is not what they did with the Old Testament. It's what they did with the New. That is completely deceptive. This title should be instead fake news about the true news about the Danish Bible. And then look at this in the Q&A. I've got time for this. The Q&A at the end of the article. They specifically say this. Have you admitted the word Israel? No. In the contemporary Danish Bible, 2020 Israel and Israelites are mentioned more than 2,000 times. Well, what about the New Testament? Be honest. Answer that. And they go on with subterfuge. The good news is that they actually said it's receiving a lot of criticism and they're going to have to reevaluate. They need to repent. They need to repent and quit tampering with God's word and trying to play God and deny the ongoing role of the Jewish people in the world today, and the fact that Israel today is directly connected to Israel in the Bible, in the Old Testament. All right, we'll be back with your calls. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Jewish-related calls coming next.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. If we are a blessing to you, if you are helped by our ministry, if we've been here to equip you, to strengthen you, to edify you, to challenge you, to help you go deeper in God, please pray for us. Your prayers make a massive difference. Pray that God would help us to live up to his high calling, do everything he's anointed us and called us to do. Pray for our needs to be met so that we can reach more and more and more people effectively. We have so much on our heart to do with Jewish outreach, especially in Israel, but we need supernaturally open doors. We need funding. So pray with us. Thank God with us for his faithfulness. And if you feel prompted to join our support team, $1 a day or more, you become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. You get a ton of stuff sewed back into you every single month, access to free classes, videos on demand, things like that. So in addition to the thousands of hours of material that are available free to the general public, you get access to even more material. You get a new message sent your way every single month, an insider prayer letter, 15% discount in our online bookstore. If you come with us to Israel, you get a 10% discount, which basically puts back in your pocket what you give over the course of a whole year. So consider joining our team today. It's the most direct, intimate way to stand with us. And if you can afford $1 a day or more per month, then join us. And we trust that God will be with you. As you do, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, click on donate, and then you'll see monthly support. Read all of the benefits, the things that we pour back into you is our way of saying thank you as you help us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel and so much more. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. I just want to read to you from Psalm 83. We've talked about this new Danish translation of the Bible that seeks to remove Israel, that does remove Israel from the New Testament and substitutes other words and tries to justify it. But others have pointed to Psalm 83, a psalm of Asaph. God, do not keep silent. Do not hold your peace, O God, do not be still. For look, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you lift up their head. They make a shrewd plot against your people, conspiring against your treasured ones. Come, they say, let's wipe them out as a nation. Let Israel's name be remembered no more. That's really what's ultimately at stake here. The desire to wipe out the name of Israel, to wipe out the people of Israel. It is that same spirit. It's manifest now in a so-called translation of the Bible by the Danish Bible Society. May they find repentance. May they find true life in Jesus if they've translated the Bible without knowing the God who authored the scriptures. And may they get things right for the good of their nation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. We start with James in the Houston area. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Are you there, James? All right. Tell you what, James might be an alien communicating with sound waves, but I'm unable to pick them up. So, and James is, we figured it out. That's why it only said Houston area, because the spaceship was hovering around Houston. And that's why when we got him on, the sound, figured it. Hey, they don't call me Dr. Brown for nothing. I'm sharp. Can't put one over on me. All right, yeah, don't know what happened with this call. Maybe he'll call back and get reconnected. I hope if he does, he's got a good sense of humor. All right, let's go to Troy in Kentucky. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Whoa. Okay. I'm detecting a pattern here. I am detecting a pattern. So I'm trying this next call, And is this Troy again? All right, tell you what, I'm assuming that we're just having some problem with our lines here. Let's see what's going on. Noah in Tennessee, are you there, sir?
I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I thank you so much for taking my call and for the impact you've had on my life. But I wanted to ask you, so I'm 22 years old now. I'm a fellow Jewish believer in Jesus. And since I was 17 years old, God has just put a tremendous, extreme burden on my heart for the Jewish people. And I believe he's impressed it on my heart to work doing Jewish evangelism, I guess you could say mission. And I'm just wondering, I'm curious if there are opportunities in Israel, and if you know of any Jewish ministry in Israel that do great work you could refer me to. Because most of the mission agencies that I've talked to seem to be more or less apathetic about Jewish evangelism, unfortunately.
That is a shame, because it's so important to the heart of the Lord and so important scripturally that there'd be apathy. The one thing is that as far as foreign missionaries, Israel has more than enough. You know, there's a joke, if you start a Bible study in Jerusalem, you'll get one Israeli and nine missionaries. So the key thing is to be part of the culture, part of the life, part of the fabric of the people there. There are congregations that are very active in outreach in Israel. You know, Dugit, Tiferet Yeshua, there are quite a few. They're active in doing outreach. And if you went there and began to become part of the life of the congregation, then you'd be able to serve in other ways. You'd be able to get involved, etc. A lot of it has to do with knowing Hebrew as well. But there's in one way or another, people are seeking to